So kind of an odd topic tonight, feedback and being open to feedback. I think I'll begin by sharing this image from the Lotus Sutra. This is something I've talked about a few times before. The Buddha had this metaphor, the net of Indra. The net of Indra was a net. And every place where two strings crossed, it was a diamond. And every diamond reflected the whole of the net. And the idea is that the human race, we're like the net of Indra, and each one of us is like that diamond. And each one of us, in some sense, is reflecting the whole of humanity and is you know, impacted in some way by what's going on with the whole of humanity. And I'll also say that, as some of you know, for 20 years or so, I was a member of a meditation group called CAFH, C-A-F-H. No one has ever heard of this group. It's a South American spiritual path centered on meditation. One of the big ideas of CAFH that I really appreciated was about feedback. You know, and the basic idea is I may think I'm a spiritual person, but if I'm walking through the world and people think I'm a jerk, then I'm not really a spiritual person. It doesn't matter what trip I'm on, you know. It's not really compassion unless it lands as compassion in the lives of those with whom I interact. And same with, you know, patience or forgiveness or generosity, any of these virtues. It doesn't matter so much how I feel. It's what kind of impact am I having on others? That's really what the virtue is about. You know, and so we have these ideas about ourselves and we have these ideals. You know, I like to think of myself as a compassionate person, a kind person, this sort of thing. And how do I know my impact? How do I know how I'm landing in the lives of others? And it can be a tricky thing. I mean, some people will just tell you, you know, sometimes you get feedback like that. There's several things that can be tricky about gauging our impact on others. One is this, it's a distinction I learned at one point from a therapist. I liked her language. She talked about maximizers and minimizers. The idea is that when someone's triggered, a maximizer will respond with this explosion of energy. And it might be anger, it might be tears, you know, but you can really tell, like you press this person's button and all of a sudden all this energy comes out, you know. A minimizer is someone who they get triggered and they go into sort of internal shutdown motion. They freeze up. And you may not see a whole lot on the outside. And of course, we live in a culture, certainly the corporate world and other environments, they tend to be rather hard on maximizers. You know, you're not supposed to show any kinds of big emotions in the corporate world. You're supposed to have, you know, nice Hallmarky kinds of, you know, pastel emotions. And so even some people who might be naturally maximizers may have learned to be minimizers, you know, in their job or in the culture. And of course, the trouble with a minimizer is, if I trigger them, I might not know. They might not trust me enough to show me that I've hurt them in some way, you know. And so that's certainly one thing that can introduce a bit of a difficulty. Another is there's some ways that we're all so different. We're so idiosyncratically different, you know? And we're all bothered by different things and triggered by different things. And then we're totally comfortable with other things. And it's completely unique and arbitrary for each one of us. The combination of things like I'm triggered by this, but I'm perfectly comfortable with that, you know? And maybe I'm perfectly comfortable with topics A and B, but I'm triggered by C, you know? And then the next person, they're triggered by A, but they're perfectly comfortable with B and C, you know? Then I get in a conversation with them. I'm trying to keep it to safe topics. So I talk about A and B because that's safe to me. That triggers them. Then they think, well, all right, well, I'll try. Difficult conversation. I'll try and move it to safe topics. They talk about B and C. That triggers me, you know, and just on and on. You know, all these ways that we think we're being nice and, you know, we're pushing somebody's buttons. And so there's a lot that can be kind of crazy about that. And so it's an interesting question, simply, how open are you to feedback? How open are you to learning about your impact on others? You know, and just notice how that question lands, how that question sits with you. You know, there's nothing right or wrong, but just to notice it. Are there ways that you invite feedback? You know, and again, an interesting reflection. You know, certainly with people you trust, you know, good friends, this sort of thing. You know, if something feels a little bit awkward or feel, you know, you say something and then maybe they seem a little bit tense, you know, and certainly this might be something you already do, but just the check-in of, you know, when I said that, did that bother you? You know, this kind of thing, just checking in. Which can feel like a very vulnerable thing, but it actually is actually kind of an endearing thing, you know? And sometimes the person might say, well, no, it didn't bother me at all, but thank you for asking. You know, other times it gives the person permission to share something that otherwise they might not have shared, you know? Now, a very tricky thing about being open to feedback is we have to have good boundaries. You know? Because if I'm talking to someone and they get upset, it's absolutely true that I'm not 100% responsible for their upset, but it's also true that I'm not 0% responsible. You see? And human neuroses tend to go to one side or the other of that, like, oh my God, I'm 100% responsible, or not my problem at all, you know, like that sort of thing. Whereas the truth is somewhere much more in that balance range of, you know, probably I'm not very responsible, but can I be curious about perhaps there was a way I could have been more sensitive or more caring in that particular interaction? If the idea of feedback and being open to feedback is a challenging one, I would say a very good place to start is simply opening yourself up more to appreciation. Now, that can be as challenging as anything, you know, but can you open yourself up simply to appreciation? You know, pick some people you trust and, you know, give them the task, you know, for like, you know, once a week you have to give me like, you know, 5 powerful compliments or whatever it is, you know. And can you be open to that kind of feedback? Because feedback is both the negative stuff as well as the good stuff. And it takes a lot of balance in oneself. If someone has a big emotional reaction to me, say, not to be defensive, but to remain in the place of curiosity. You know, the more and more as I get older, it really seems to me that curiosity is one of the most profound spiritual states. You know, just like, well, what's going on there? And what role did I play in that? So I'll pass out a quote sheet I often have a quote sheet. I used to be a teacher, so I have handouts. The top quote is from Mr. Buddha himself. Whatever words we utter should be chosen with care for the people who hear them and be influenced and be influenced by them for good or ill. That's more about the standard of giving feedback than getting feedback. I love this one from George Bernard Shaw. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. A lot of dating falls into that category. Elbert Hubbard says, to avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. Like, in other words, you really have to have an extremely boring life if you want to be exposed to no criticism, you know? Gandhi tells us, constant development is the law of life, and the man who always tries to maintain his dogmas in order to appear consistent drives himself into a false position. Winston Churchill very practically tells us, criticism may not be agreeable, but it is necessary. It fulfills the same function as pain in the human body. It calls attention to an unhealthy state of things. Carl Jung says, knowledge rests not only on truth, but also on error. I love that idea. Dr. Joyce Brothers tells us listening, not imitation, may be the sincerest form of flattery. Very simple one from Ken Blanchard. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. Roberto Bolaño, I don't know him, much about him. If you're going to say what you want to say, you're going to hear what you don't want to hear. And that's so true. And this is a tricky thing about feedback because, you know, a lot of times we get criticisms or insults and there's really very little information there. It's more about the other person. But often the genuine feedback that we most need to hear is the one that is the line that we most don't want to hear, you know? And so that it can be a really challenging thing. Like, whoa, that really confronts me. What's there for me? You know, that kind of thing. Bill Gates tells us we all need people who will give us feedback. That's how we improve. A distinction from Frank Sonnenberg. Feedback is helpful and constructive. Criticism is hurtful and damaging. Sometimes you ask for feedback and you get criticism, you know. Tony Robbins says, to effectively communicate, we must realize that we are all different in the ways we perceive the world and use this understanding as a guide to our communication with others. You know, I've often thought, like, to switch places with anyone, even people I know very well, like, what would it be like to experience the world as this other person experiences it? You know, and it's almost mind-boggling. Nalim Saxena-Chandra says, life is a closed-loop control system. You take inputs from the environment, from what you read, from your social interactions, from your family, and it goes as feedback into your system, modifying you every little day. Those who are obstinate, like an open-loop control system where nothing, are like an open-loop control system where nothing affects them. It really isn't good to remain in an open-loop. Not only will you be isolated, but you'll also miss out on important things in life. It isn't wise either to let the feedback system be so strong that you forget your own ideas and principles. A balance is necessary. So I like that idea that if I'm not open at all, then I'm isolated in my own little world and I'm not growing, I'm not changing. But if I'm open too much, then I give myself away, you know, and so finding that balance. Kim Collins says, strive for continuous improvement instead of perfection. So continuous improvement, that's a very realistic ideal. Perfection is completely unrealistic. Chris Hutchinson says, with real feedback, effective adjustments are possible. Veronica Tugalub, I don't even know how to say her name, but she's a very wise young woman. People will react to you as a result of their own mindset rather than as a reflection of your worth. People use us as mirrors for their own darkness. If you have been hurt by such people, perhaps you can use these experiences to become a different kind of person, one who reflects the light within others instead of using them as mirrors. Maybe your experience of pain can lead you to be a greater leader, someone who lights up the world. Your most painful struggle is ripe with opportunity. I have no idea how to pronounce this person's name, who wrote the book Wealth for All. Failure is constructive feedback that tells you to try a different approach to accomplish what you want. Miles Anthony Smith says, neither care too much nor too little about the feedback of others. I love the title of his book, incidentally, Why Leadership Sucks. From Sharon Weil, everything in my environment is offering me feedback if I will only listen. Ford Taylor says, all feedback is relevant, even if it's not true. And it's so true, we can't be fundamentalist in the way that we accept feedback. For example, if I'm giving a sangha and then someone tells me afterward, you ruined my life! You know, probably I really didn't ruin their life, but probably there's some information there, you know. Be surprising if I ruin somebody's life. Success lies in absorbing negative feedback and using the best of it. Brittany Bergender says, your past, including your family, simply offers feedback that makes you wiser or stronger than before. Oscar Olik Ice says, positive or negative, it's all feedback. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce this guy, Dr. Segeid Habtetworld. The people who care about you may not tell you your blind spots, fearing to offend or hurt you. Open up and ask for their feedback and get enlightened. And that's particularly true of people who are very kind and sensitive. They might not want to tell you what they're really feeling for the fear it might hurt you. And there, sometimes it's important to actually draw out what they're afraid to share. Successful people use feedback to sharpen their intuition by acknowledging mistakes for what they truly are, feedback. And John Mattoni says, if you reject feedback, you also reject the choice of acting in a way that may bring you abundant success. Mm-hmm.